Welcome to St. Augustine this evening, or as the great and all-powerful Pete Melfi likes to call it, the Mike Davis Show, and who am I to argue with him because I'm Mike Davis. Happy Monday, everybody. You've almost survived Monday. It's 5 o'clock, which means hopefully most of you are done working on Monday, and now you can begin enjoying on Monday, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere right now. My special guest tonight, Amanda, will be joining us in just a minute. I am going to do some reads, and then I had some thoughts to share with both you and Amanda, and we'll see how long Amanda can hang on the train of thought before she takes us down some different path that I didn't know we were going to talk about today. So opening their doors in 2008, Brightway Insurance, the Casey Agency, has proudly stood by their customers through hurricanes, major floods, hail, and fires. Through these events, the agency has become a much-needed insurance resource in times of trouble and hardship. Honesty and integrity are the pillars of their core values, says owner Ashley Casey, and they pride themselves on being insurance experts while helping develop strategies, easy for me to say, that help their clients meet their insurance needs. And they truly enjoy serving St. Augustine. The Casey Agency, Brightway Insurance, give those guys a call. Also, SolarStick. They were established in 2006. SolarStick is a local portable power company proudly committed to American manufacturing, constant innovation in creating jobs right here in St. Augustine, Florida. SolarStick's focus on providing solutions for self-sufficiency helps users all over the world complete missions and save lives. SolarStick, changing lives, saving lives, and reviving American manufacturing right here in the nation's oldest city. And Raise Tire and Commercial Center is your commercial business go-to shop. They can service and repair any type of commercial vehicle you may have. And they have all your tire needs covered, from your midsize F-250s to your Freightliner, Peterbilt, Caterpillar, Cummins, and many more. And if you own a motorhome, they service and repair all motorhomes. And they have the largest paint and body shop in the county. They can fix just about anything on that million-dollar motorhome. They also do bed liners, headliners, rust-proofing, undercoating. Raise Tire Commercial Center, 2330 Dobbs Road, or online at staugustinetruckrepair.com. I hope you care.
I do.
Because it's time to care.
It's time.
You got to give a little bit if you care.
Of course.
And Land Title of America, whether you realize it or not, when you refinance a sale or purchase of a home, there's a title company involved. Don't get stuck with some out-of-town title company who doesn't give a crap when you're faced with challenges. Stay local and choose Land Title of America. Or better yet, just call or text Stephen Collins at 904-501-4481. If you text him, he will answer you back. He specializes in all types of real estate transactions. Land Title, your local title company, insuring America's land one title at a time, because Amanda,
they give a crap.
They darn sure do. Great folks.
All right.
All right. So last Thursday, we didn't do a show because Ron DeSantis came to town. Mm-hmm. He was over at the Black Fly restaurant, and it was supposed to be a small group, but it ended up being probably about 100 people.
Of course.
I was probably number 80 deep in the rows of people, which I was fine with. Yeah. I was perfectly good. He gave a good stump speech. Didn't really get to meet and greet and all that kind of stuff, but it was really nice to be there. A lot of great St. Augustine people showed up, and it was good to see America's governor. Mm-hmm. So I apologize that I was on here on Thursday, but I was doing the thing that I like, is kind of politics.
And yeah.
It was really, really fun. So, and
that
I got,
must be because you get the embossed letters.
I got a night out with my mom. I took my mom as my plus one. Darcy was out of town, so mom got to go as a plus one. You were on the list.
Oh,
I'm not going to tell you where you were on the list, but you were on the list.
172.
You were on the first page of the list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was triple columns, but you were on the first page. You were on the first page.
All right.
And this is the best I felt all day long.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the fact my wife is back in the United States and it's one less flight, or I don't. I was watching the plane so much on Flight Tracker. Mm-hmm. I got a call from the police. Are you stalking this plane? Well, I'm just trying to keep an eye on the plane. But so she's back. I'm all happy about that. But I do feel the best.
Welcome back, Darcy.
It is. So last week, I'm doing all this research for the show.
Uh-huh.
And Thursday morning, all of this stuff came together and hit me all at one time.
Okay.
And normally, I can't keep that much stuff straight in my head.
All right.
But I managed to work all this together.
Okay.
So did you hear about the volcano in the Tonga?
No.
So a Tonga volcano.
Okay.
Right? And when I see these headlines, I can't help but all of a sudden do math.
Okay.
It's just, I get going and I go, wait a minute. I got to know what that means.
All right.
So the headline is Tonga volcano spews enough water to fill 58,000 1,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools into the stratosphere.
All right.
All right. So immediately I'm like, wow, that's a lot of water. But how much water is that? And so immediately I've got to start doing research.
Okay.
Do you have any idea how much water is in an Olympic-sized swimming pool?
Absolutely no.
I didn't either. I had no idea.
There's more than one size pool that they use for Olympic swimming. I mean, how many lanes? 50 meters, I'm assuming. Like, so. Yeah.
So, I just went with the standard answer.
All right.
58,000 gallons per pool.
58,000 gallons per pool.
Times, no, I'm sorry. Excuse me. 58,000 pools. 660,000 gallons per pool.
660,000. Okay.
So I'm like, okay, so let's just do multiplication, right? I did this the other day. So 38 billion.
Okay.
280 million gallons.
That's a lot of gallons.
That's a lot of gallons.
And it's vaporized.
And it, well, it's going to be in the atmosphere, right? And because the volcano was underwater.
All right.
And the pictures from space are spectacular.
Cool.
Right? And I went total nerd, right?
Yeah.
So then I said, well, how big's the atmosphere? Mm-hmm. How big is the atmosphere?
Okay.
It's 5.5 quadrillion tons.
Okay.
5.5 quadrillion tons.
It's a lot.
Do you know how many zeros are in a quadrillion?
No.
There's 12 zeros.
Did you have to Google?
I had to Google it. I absolutely did.
I would have had to too.
It was quadrillion tons, right? And then I got thinking about it, right? So there's millions and then billions and then trillions and then quadrillions.
Okay.
Right? So I'm thinking about this. And that's when all of a sudden the squirrel just ran through my brain.
All right.
And I went, well, I'm on one problem, which is dealing with how much water vapor we threw up into the atmosphere, or the volcano did.
Yeah.
And I thought water vapor was good because it comes down as rain. Mm-hmm. Maybe it ended drought somewhere. Maybe it all ended up in Death Valley.
Maybe.
Maybe that's where the water in Death Valley, because they had a rain event last week that was an entire year's. Maybe the Tongan volcano is responsible. Maybe it went up in Tonga and came down in
Salt Lake.
Maybe that is. I don't know. But anyway, so I was like, okay. But when
so that's seawater, so does it stay salty?
I don't know.
Once it falls from the atmosphere?
I don't think it's going to drink while it's up there. I don't think it's going to stay salty.
Yeah.
I just don't. So 5.5 quadrillion tons in the atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And I got thinking, well, a quadrillion comes after trillions.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought to myself, and this scared me, more than the volcano erupting, to my core. How long I probably will live when some politician will walk out and say we have pared down the U.S. government budget to $2 quadrillion. And I'm like, that's going to happen in my lifetime. I immediately saw the quadrillion and I'm like, some politician somewhere is going, hold my beer.
Right.
I know we can spend that much money.
Bernie Sanders.
I know we can spend a quadrillion. Trillions aren't enough.
Mm-hmm.
$1 trillion budget's not enough.
Yeah.
We can get to a quadrillion. So sometime in my lifetime, whether it be before I'm in the nursing home, after I'm in the nursing home, fully cognizant or not, some politician is going to propose a $1 quadrillion budget.
All right.
You heard it here first.
Do you have the growth rate?
I don't need a growth rate. I don't need a growth rate. It's a great leading question.
All right.
And the reason I don't need a growth rate is because this weekend, our Congress proved they were going to the $1 quadrillion budget.
Oh, no.
They passed a budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is spending money on top of spending money on top of inflation.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Not good.
It's almost like I had this thought on Thursday and Joe Manchin said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I can get there.
Yeah.
And then I had another squirrel run through my brain.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there was
these
a lot of squirrels.
Busy squirrels.
They were busy squirrels on Thursday.
I was really excited about the plants.
They were after my flowers. They've left the pepper plants alone.
Okay.
I think I'm going to take a ghost. Well, that's another squirrel. I'll get back to that. You see what you did. So I got thinking about this. For 2 years, Democrats have said they want to defund the police.
Uh-huh.
For 2 full years, we're going to defund the police.
Yep.
Physical crimes are no longer going to be prosecuted at the rate that they were formerly prosecuted at.
Well, you can't.
If you rob or steal and it's a misdemeanor, right, without a lot of violence, we're going to let you right back out so you can do it again today or tomorrow or twice today and three times tomorrow. You're right back out on the streets, right? No bail.
There's
no cash
bail,
right?
That's reoffended 500 times in New York or whatever.
Yes.
In a year or something ridiculous.
He's going for the quadrillion. He might get to the quadrillion before they spend a quadrillion. They'll probably spend a quadrillion arresting him. But anyway, so I got thinking about this. I said, well, Democrats aren't really as concerned with physical violence. They're just not. It's not part of the, we want to protect you from harm or we want to protect people from having their things stolen.
They're really concerned about existential threat.
Correct.
Threats. Yeah.
Yes. Now, why in this latest bill would they appropriate enough money for 86, almost 87,000 new IRS agents? So they don't care about physical crime. People stealing things, people pushing, people hurting, all that. We don't care. But damn it, if you're cheating on your taxes, we are going to catch you. We are going to throw you in jail for cheating on your tax. Not only have we hired 87,000 new IRS agents, but we have armed the IRS.
I would posit that they are being intellectually consistent because they don't care about theft from the civilian sector. In my mind, the income tax is sanctioned theft from the government. So they are, by virtue of paring back funding for the police, they're encouraging civilian theft. And now they're also encouraging additional government theft.
Okay.
So I would say they're being intellectually
You understand
consistent.
By having this discussion, we'll probably be the first ones to be audited. You get that, right? Okay, you fully understand that. All right.
They're going to be very sad when they audit me.
I'm going to tell you, I have Brad Davis as my accountant. They're going to, good luck.
Maybe I need Brad Davis as my accountant.
You might want him as your accountant. He's very, but anyway, I thought it interesting that we're going to go after taxpayers. And then I also found it really interesting, right? While I was a little bit frustrated, I also had to laugh, right? I had to laugh.
Okay.
No one can find employees right now. No one.
Good luck getting those IRS
agents.
But
the IRS is going to find 87,000 people to become IRS agents.
They said nothing about qualified people.
I'm not saying they have any qualified people now.
Yeah.
I'm going to get two audits for that one. I'm going to see how many audits I can ring up. We should
back
have a little. If we just had a little counter right here over my shoulder, we could see how many audits we're racking up as we're discussing this.
Oh, man.
But where are they going to find the 87,000 people? There's not 87,000 people.
Well, didn't Abbott just send busloads of people to D.C.?
He did. He did. Some
there
of them,
you go.
But not all of them wanted to get off the bus. I don't know if you heard, the one bus hit New York. There was like 60 or 70 people on it. Only 15 got off.
We don't want to die.
We don't want to die. Can we go to the next town outside of New York?
Connecticut's nice.
Yeah. Delaware's great this time of year.
Yeah.
Just ask Joe.
At least in his neighborhood.
At least in his neighborhood. Right. Yeah. Anyway, I just, all of these squirrels ran through my brain. When I saw the number of quadrillion, I thought, damn it, in my lifetime, that's going to be our national budget. Yeah. And it scared me.
What about the deficit?
Oh, that's probably the next one up. Quintillion?
Oh, man.
Quad is four, right? So four sets of three zeros. So quintillion's got to be next. It's entirely possible. I'm not going to put it out of the realm or reach a possibility of today's politicians in both parties to be able to get to that number.
Yeah. We got the deficit down to a trillion, everybody.
No, they're going to lie even worse. Right now, we are passing this package and we will save millions of dollars out of the deficit. Then it became billions of dollars out of the deficit. We are going to save trillions of dollars.
Of hypothetical dollars.
Hypothetically, if you quit spending the quadrillion, we wouldn't have to worry about the trillions. If you quit spending the trillions, we wouldn't have to worry about the billions.
It's true.
Yeah, I just, when I got that number, I was like, that volcano is just underperforming compared to our own Congress and what they can spend.
It's amazing how much they're spending when they're not doing, like, the one job they're supposed to be doing as the federal government, which is protecting our borders.
It would be nice.
It's like one of the only things that they're entrusted with.
And the one group that universally is disliked by every party is the IRS.
Yeah. So we need more of those people.
So we need more of those people, right? I mean, you have friends in your life that are annoying.
Yes.
But they're friends with you because they did something to help you, or you, you've been attached to them for a long time, or damn it, they're family.
Yeah.
Right? And
sad but true.
Sad but true. And so all of a sudden you're like, holy cow, we're going to hire more of the most annoying people.
Yeah.
So I guess
can't answer a question either.
As U.S. citizens, if we could run a clip right now, it would be the guy sitting in between Dumb and Dumber as they were making the most obnoxious sound. And it would have IRS on both of their faces, right? And we as the citizens are trying to get away from the most annoying sound. That's four or five audits at least. Up to at least four or five audits by now. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going back to the very first taxes I filed when I was 12.
Probably. Damn it. You filed taxes at 12?
I was probably 15 or 16.
Overachiever.
I was. Well, I didn't have a choice. I woke up one morning and my dad said, go to work.
Yeah.
And I said, when do I get to come home? He said, when school starts. It's a simple summer program at our house. You went to work. So I look at it and I think this is just really absolutely off the charts. That many people. Where are you going to put that many people? And then I have news for you. Mm. What building or buildings or campus of buildings are you going to have to build to put 86,000 people to work?
Well, I heard that the federal government has just tons of empty buildings in D.C., that they're just nobody's in them, but we own them and they're not selling them.
They're congressional staffers' offices. They don't show up.
Okay.
Seven audits. Keep track of this. I'm up to seven.
So we just need office sharing programs.
Well, if they work from home, I don't have to worry about them auditing me.
It's true.
I mean, I'll be good. It's eight or nine right there. Cause I challenge them working at home and on. Yeah. This is, damn it. I'm only 56. I told you 16 first time.
Uh-huh.
That's 40 years of taxes. I'm almost 25% through of my taxes being audited. Yeah.
All right.
So I'm going to keep going though.
Wasn't home without telling me Darcy wasn't home.
I had nothing to do. It was one morning and I was like watching a little bit of news. I'm doing a little bit of work, getting ready to go to work. I'm making a nice cup of coffee. And I'm like, all of a sudden, all of this stuff just ran through. But the quadrillion, when I wrote it out, I went, son of a bitch. You people are going to spend. I feel like Charlton Heston, right in the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
you did it. You really did it. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say that in the nursing home, and people are going, "What is wrong with him? Is he off his meds?" I've been saying this for 30 years. By the time I get there,
yeah, let's hope that it takes that long. I hope it takes that long.
I don't know. They could pass something tomorrow and add even more money to it.
That is true.
Lord help them if one of them comes out and says, we need a windmill in every driveway.
Well,
except the Hamptons.
It would not surprise me.
There won't be any in the Hamptons because it blocks the view.
There already were some in the Hamptons. They took them down.
Did they take them down?
They were like little ones.
Ted Kennedy didn't want them out at ocean. So
they wouldn't put the wind farm in the ocean because it would ruin Ted Kennedy's view. But, you know,
I didn't think he could
put them over your house.
I didn't think he could see past the bar.
Well, evidently it's on the direction.
I must line have of been sight over the bar.
I get distracted from the windmills and I can't order my drink.
I can't order my drink because the windmills are distracting. Yeah. So I was just.
He seems like someone that would be hypnotized with spinning things.
I'm going to, I could go a lot of places with that right now. And I'm just going to leave all of that alone. But you know, all of this because some volcano decides to throw 58,000 Olympic sized swimming pools into the atmosphere.
Well, there was the one in Iceland about 15, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And someone did the math on the amount of ash it was kicking into the atmosphere and how every single environmental measure that had been done since we started caring about the environment was wiped out on day three of that eruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it spewed ash for like 100 and something days.
Mount Pinatubo, when it erupted in 1989, spewed more ash into the atmosphere than all of the ash from the Industrial Revolution until 1989.
So
at one time.
But we're the problem.
I think volcanoes are the problem. They're going to have to stop volcanoes.
We should nuke all volcanoes.
Volcanoes should be stopped before they wipe us off the planet.
Yeah.
They've done it before. Just saying.
Yeah.
Either that or an asteroid. Either one of those. Depends on which one you believe. I don't know if I believe any of them anymore, but yeah. No, it's just an awful lot to think about, a quadrillion dollars being spent, and then to watch them go, we've got this on Sunday.
Yeah.
87,000 new workers.
87.
The military can't find enough people to fill recruitment.
At least 500 of those are coming for you.
And after this show, this is going to be shown for training. These are the people we want you to find. The nice lady, not so much, but that guy ranting about swimming pools and volcanoes and spending, we're going to go get that guy.
For the record, my name's Maria Brown. I live in Texas.
She's just visiting for this show. Yeah, if we had a really good, you know, if your daughter wasn't the producer back in the day, it would say Maria Brown from Texas underneath, right? On a scrolling a line. Lower third. From West Texas.
Guest hosts.
Mike's long lost friend. Oh, but anyway, that stuff just kind of hit me and I was like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And the more I kind of thought about it, the more I was like, this is.
I love how a flaming tower of lava sent you immediately to the federal government.
It was the squirrels.
I can't imagine the analogy.
It was the squirrel. I just got thinking of, well, what's the biggest number I've ever seen? Oh, the budget. That's the biggest number I've ever seen.
It's true.
And then when I wrote it out, I thought, well, how long until they get this many zeros on the end of it?
Yeah.
And then I got thinking about what they're spending the money on. And I thought, well, that's not going to help anybody.
Yeah. My grandfather was a big Ross Perot fan. And there was a Ross Perot funded billboard on the corner of his town. Yeah. And he and my step-grandmother would go out and they would update the deficit.
Yes.
And so when we would stay there for the summer, we would have to get the numbers in the car and we'd have to drive out there and take the numbers off. Update the deficit.
And so you bring up Ross and right now, he's that crazy aunt. That's Mike Davis. He's a crazy aunt down in the basement that nobody wants to listen to about the deficit. He's a crazy aunt. And that's what I feel like. I don't understand how we can continue to spend.
It's because you are a businessman and you have to operate your books where you are in the red.
No.
In the black.
Well, we're not. Avoid see, Congress red. Has already affected you now.
I know. You have to avoid the red.
Yeah.
And these are people that have never run a business.
No.
Much like me. So they get these confused.
Yes. It's the IRS will be larger than the Pentagon, the State Department, the FBI, and Border Patrol. Combined.
Exciting.
Combined.
And how many weapons and how much ammo did Obama stockpile for them?
Too much.
Because there were weird stockpiles.
Too much.
Weird departments of ammo and weapons.
Yeah. It's not needed.
Yeah. I especially don't want IRS agents with guns. Like, just saying.
So then the numbers on the bill that passed, the Inflation Reduction Act, that will be in every single ad along with the rate of inflation increase from now until 2024.
Yeah.
That if you hate political ads that are repetitive, get ready because this one's coming. And then Joe Biden said today it will bring down the rate of inflation.
He needs to learn what the eco-activists have learned in large part, aside from AOC, and that is don't put any definitives on your predictions. Al Gore with his, by 2010, the icebergs will be melted, I believe it was. That didn't work out for him. Maybe it was 2015. Mm-hmm. I mean, AOC, the planet will be in climate catastrophe in 12 years. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yep.
So you can't put hard deadlines on those predictions.
I can't say I was going to save it for Thursday's best guest, but you brought it up. Now I got to go there. The Great Barrier Reef.
Okay.
Did you see what happened to the Great Barrier Reef?
So we know that there was a lot of uproar about the bleaching of the Great Barrier Reef.
This year, the Great Barrier Reef has the most coral growth on the upper and mid sections than it's had since they started doing recordings of it in the 1980s or whenever they decided they discovered bleaching.
So ocean acidification is not killing all coral?
Not all coral is dying. In fact, coral is thriving on the Great Barrier Reef. There's three sections of the Great Barrier Reef, and two of them had done remarkably well. One had done a little worse, but it was a shock to the people that went out and took the information that living systems can figure out how to survive, how to adapt, how to overcome.
Adaptation is a thing.
Only we could teach Congress to adapt to a budget.
Yeah. Well, they adapted away from the budget.
Do you know, they learned
under Obama that they didn't have to pass budgets anymore.
So this bill, right, according to one of the groups that ranked it, right, nonprofit, 25% of the people earning between $10,000 and $20,000 will see a tax increase. If you're earning $20,000, that's your max earning. You are not living. That is not a...
No, that is poverty.
That's $10 an hour. It's $10 an hour.
Yeah.
So 62% of the people earning between $40,000 and $50,000 will see a tax increase. Mm-hmm. Again, a group that doesn't traditionally pay any taxes or pays very little taxes. 93% of those earning between $75,000 and $100,000 will see a tax increase. And 97.2% of those earning between $100,000 and $200,000 will see a tax increase.
Good news for all.
Well, and then they said, we didn't raise taxes on you. We raised it on corporations. Again,
it's almost like they don't know how that works.
They really, truly don't, because the corporations went, great. It's a number. It's 15. We know what it is. Mm-hmm. So just to be safe, let's raise prices 17%. Mm-hmm. And if prices go up 17% on top of an inflation that's 9%, maybe inflation goes up 20%, 25%, 26%. That will be wonderful because we have a quote from the president that says it won't happen.
Well, hopefully the world listens to him.
$750 billion inflation reduction. Wouldn't you want to reduce inflation? Wouldn't you spend that money on actually reducing the debt? Wouldn't you do something that would bring down interest rates as opposed to raising them?
Not if you're Joe Biden. If you lack logic,
I would say intelligence.
To quote Arnold Schwarzenegger from The Twins, I have no respect for those with no respect for logic.
Yeah. And then Joe said, do I expect it to help President Biden? Yes, I do. It's going to help immediately help. For example, no senior will have on Medicare will have a bill more than $2,000 for drugs, no matter what the costs are. That's a big deal. It changes people's lives, the whole range of things that are really game changers for ordinary folks. Now, some of that is not going to not kick in for a little bit, but it's all good. It's really going to. We'll lower the daily. When you sit down at the kitchen table, it goes on.
That makes so much sense.
I think Kamala wrote it for him.
I think that was just...
You know why we're here today?
Free flowing. Why?
Because today is important, Amanda. We're here today... Because it's not yesterday, but we're here today so we can do tomorrow when it's today. But today's today, and it's really important.
It's very profound.
It's really important today.
Today.
Does your daughter know the importance of today?
She does now.
Does she know that She's it comes listening. After yesterday and before tomorrow? You're going to be tested on this later, young lady. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. The more I looked into it, the more I kind of looked at it, I was like, this is just insane.
Truly.
So we might have to have a bet. I'm trying to get Dylan and Bo to come on Wednesday so we can do our picks because early voting is getting ready to crank up.
Yep.
So we can do our handicapping of where we think the races will be. And we might have to also have a side bet of what year the United States government will propose a budget that has a credit. Quadrillion in it.
Oy vey.
Yeah. So that was it was a pretty good rant.
It's a good
I'm
rabbit hole.
I'm not going to lie. It was a good rumble and a good rant.
Yep. That's a good rabbit hole.
Yes. I have another rabbit hole for you.
All right.
So some Republican legislators are not taking all of this craziness sitting down.
For a change.
This one's really good. Republican states are planning an all-out assault on woke banks.
I
know.
The violent language.
How about we're just legislating for how we want the state to handle banking?
When are we going to have the hearings for the all-out assault that's about to take place?
And the title says, "We won't do business with you." I wonder where I've heard that before.
So
I'm trying to think.
This sounds like using the cancellation tactics of the left against them.
West Virginia announced last week. Isn't it interesting that West Virginia is against all of this craziness while their senator is the one that has enabled craziness? West Virginia announced last week it would bar 5 major financial institutions, including BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, and JP Morgan, from entering into banking contracts with the state's treasurer's office or any state agency.
Okay.
Each of the 5 corporations had committed to policies limiting commercial engagement with the fossil fuel industry.
Of course.
Which paid a whopping $769 million in taxes to West Virginia state government. You know those businesses that don't pay anything?
Yeah.
This is not one of them, because they paid a whopping $769 million to just West Virginia.
Yeah.
Treasurer Rich Moore told they have weaponized our tax dollars against the very people and industry that have generated them, that generally began with. That's why we're pushing back. So this is the beginning. Believe me, there's Florida legislators, there's Indiana, there's all over the South and the West, and people are going, oh, we can do that?
Yeah.
We're all in.
Well, I feel like a lot of legislatures are watching things that Ron DeSantis is doing, and they're like, wait, that's a thing? We can do that?
Yeah.
We can actually fire people that aren't doing their jobs?
Mm-hmm. You can. You're the governor.
Yeah.
You 100% can. Mm-hmm. You just have to have the know-how.
Yep.
And something else, too.
We'll say
that Governor know-how. Ron has in mm-hmm. abundance.
Yeah.
Yes. It's such a fun show today. I'm having too much fun. All right. Again, inflammatory headlines.
It's almost as if the media isn't helping with the rhetoric in the country. No.
A CNN columnist and MSNBC guest, Dan Obadiah, ripped Governor Greg Abbott from Texas, saying that he was accusing him of brutality and human trafficking.
Hmm.
Because he was sending people in buses filled with food and water.
Air-conditioned buses.
Air-conditioned.
Mm-hmm. With bathrooms.
To sanctuary cities.
Mm-hmm.
So they walk however many miles to get into the United States, cross the river or cross the desert to get into the United States
mm-hmm.
without water, without bathrooms, without safety, sometimes being trafficked by coyotes,
mm-hmm.
horrible things going on to them.
Female, 70% of them are assaulted.
Put on a bus with aid workers, with water, with food mm-hmm. and air conditioning, and sent to either New York or DC.
But that's the human movement we have a problem with.
I thought that a sanctuary city took people that were looking for sanctuary.
I thought they were looking for them.
I thought that they were encouraging them to come there.
It sounds like he's giving them what they asked for.
Greg Abbott simply saying, we have 5,000 people a day coming across in a sector. We're going to send a few buses to you.
And we have a few empty buses.
And we thought you would like to help. Mm-hmm. Since it's a United States problem, you could help.
Yeah.
And since you put out the message, we're encouraging them to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't Joe Biden put somebody in charge of the border?
Oh, I think he did.
Why didn't he put somebody in charge of the border that would go to the border?
She has not been to the
border. a problem and try to solve a problem.
Because that would be work.
Okay. Now you're getting sarcastic. Now you've taken us someplace we don't need to be. Karen Jean-Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
Was asked by Peter Ducey, why are you finishing the wall in Arizona?
Yeah.
You have never heard someone dance around an answer that they were not finishing the wall. They were simply cleaning up the mess left by the left.
She was Fred Astaire.
I don't think she was that. I thought she was Michael Jackson moonwalking.
Yeah.
Because it was good. Like, remember that MTV Awards or whatever? He was in the in the sparkly suit.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she looked like. Yeah. That's it. But the whole time, instead of playing that, whatever that song was, it was like Smooth Criminal.
Yeah.
You could just hear
Smooth Criminal. Interesting song to play that moment.
I just simply thought it flowed well into the narrative.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
Since she took the position, is it just me or do we see a wider variety of people hosting press conferences?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just Jen Psaki.
Yes.
And she was the one that was always out.
Yep.
And now we have, now we have Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny from the block, wherever. I don't know.
Karen.
Karen?
Karen Jean-Pierre. Yes.
Karen Jean-Pierre. Yes. All right. So we have a Karen at the microphone.
Yes.
But it seems like she doesn't take most of the press conferences. Seems like lots of other people are coming in and filling in for Karen.
It's almost like
she spoke to the manager and she complained about the workload.
I just don't want to do this every day. So can we get guests and then we'll be good and we'll be fine and I'll be okay. Yeah. It was very interesting that Jake Tapper's not there.
Yeah.
Right. Jake Tapper was like biggest jerk to Donald Trump.
Oh, my word.
Right? And on the left, I'm sure there's people that think Peter Ducey is a jackass for asking the questions that he does. I think
he has yet to assault anyone.
I think he's very polite. He has not assaulted anyone. And I think he's a nice, you know, he asks the questions in a fair way. And they all know he's good at trapping them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He asks them something and they're like, oh, no, if I answer this the way I think I'm supposed to answer this, I know I'm about to get boxed in.
Yeah.
And so they start, you know, Peter, I'd like to answer your question before you ask it. I don't know anything about anything. I'll have to get back to you. Right? Thanks, Peter. What's your question?
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
who would have thought Steve Ducey's kid would be so aggressive?
He's actually better than Steve.
Steve is a lovable kind of goofy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think isn't he on the morning show?
He's on the morning show with Brian Kilmeade. Mm-hmm. I think Ansley Earhart is typically the fill-in.
Yeah.
Or not the female host.
But he seems like a bubbly kind of morning show guy. And then his son has developed some sharp teeth.
But I don't think he's vicious. I think he's asking the questions that a large segment of the population would like an answer to.
Yeah.
It's questions that the left doesn't want to answer. And it's questions that the left-leaning media will never ask.
I feel like he's asking the questions that we all want asked. But no one will do it.
Now I'm going to have to actually watch a press conference and see what the other questions are.
Yeah.
Now I've got homework for me. This doesn't usually happen to me giving me homework, but my curiosity is now I'm going to have to look up today's press conference and see if I can find the video and watch and see what the other reporters are asking.
Yeah. What's your favorite TikTok performer?
Karen, how was your weekend? Is President Biden feeling great, even though he's got COVID, you know?
Yeah. For the third time in 2 weeks.
Listen, his poll numbers went up when he went back in the basement. Don't expect to see much of him.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, there was some political commentator, and I don't know which one, or I would give them credit. I can't remember. That Biden was in the basement with COVID for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Schumer and Manchin worked out a deal without his help.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan against his wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And when all that stuff happened, his numbers went up. So maybe, I mean, I'm not the only one. There's people at the White House who get paid big bucks to look at this and go, Joe, you're just going to have the longest long COVID that anybody's ever had.
What do you think the staff member said to him to try to explain that to him?
I don't think it's the staff. I think it's Jill. I think it's 100% it's Jill. It's all Jill. So, all right.
She's just adding the tranquilizers to the ice cream. Here you go, honey.
She hasn't been on vacation for a while. There was a whole story on that, too.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of time on my hands.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. So, anyway, I apologize for taking you guys way down the volcano rabbit hole, but it was just, it started the quadrillion, and then it just kept rolling from there.
It was explosive information.
It was explosive information.
Yep.
Yes. It was steamy.
Steaming?
It was steamy.
Mm.
See?
Yeah.
Into the atmosphere.
Nice.
Two can play this volcanic word game.
You're a squirrely one.
I know. All right. So today's Monday.
Yes.
It's five questions.
Okay.
All right, so let's start out with a fun one. Mm-hmm. If you could go anywhere right now, cost didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Someone came to you and said, I'm paying for your greatest dream vacation. Where are you going?
Okay. I've talked about Antarctica a lot on the show, so I won't give that answer. I would say a tour of the African continent.
Okay.
I'd like to do photo safari of the African continent.
Have you seen some of what happens on those safaris?
Well, if money is no option, then I've got really good security.
The elephants, the lions, the tigers, the whole. Yeah, there's a.
I ain't scared.
There's a video of a guy sitting in the chair in front of one of the Jeeps. I guess so he could be closer to the animals. Yeah. He's looking left, and then he pans around to the right, and here's a lioness just trying to figure out if he's breakfast, lunch, or just a mild snack.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, that chair's not going to help you.
You're done. Nope.
You're done. I mean, and whoever the driver in the car is, worst driver ever, right? Yeah. Probably texting, yeah, mom, I'll be a little late for dinner tonight. Oh, there's a lion, and I've got a guy in front of the truck I'm supposed to be protecting.
Whoops.
Texting and driving, it's dangerous, people. You get eaten by a lion, I'm telling you.
Especially in Africa.
Especially in Africa. The elephants that go charging. There was a video last week I saw of a little gazelle getting away from a crocodile.
Yeah.
And kind of limping away, but getting ready to pick up speed. And it was probably 10 feet from the water's edge, and a leopard came out of nowhere. She's like, that's just not your day, dude. That's just not your day.
Not your day.
It's not your day. No.
My kids and I watch this little clip every now and we felt it comes up on my feed every now and again. And it's like this dad leading his little boy to the edge of the water with a baby turtle and they're putting it back in the water and it splashes down and this giant bass just one gulp and it's gone. Yeah. Dad's like, oh, it's okay. Let's go.
They're just buddies. He's just taking them somewhere else. It'll all be good.
They call that a taxi in the water.
Or they release a bird in the air and all of a sudden a hawk comes down out of nowhere and just. Yeah.
There's also the like little kids that grew the butterfly from the caterpillar stage.
Yeah.
As part of their like science project and they release it and then the dog just clomp is dead.
It's all
so
gone.
So close to freedom.
So close. It was there. All right. Let's do.
Where are you going?
Where am I going? I'm going on a surf safari. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and just probably Central America.
Yeah.
And spend this a month or two just traveling. Start like at the southern part of Central America and just work my way up.
Nice.
Into Costa, Nicaragua, all those places. Yeah. El Salvador, all of them.
Yeah.
Panama.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's awesome down there. The waves are usually really good and there's only a couple of days between swells. And
Yeah.
It would be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
I would not be worrying about quadrillions.
Pura vida.
Yes, baby. All right. Favorite birthday cake. What's your favorite kind of birthday cake?
Okay, so this is so basic. But there is the Pillsbury Funfetti, which is just sprinkles and cake batter and makes the white cake different colors.
Yep.
But then there is this I think it's Duncan Hines rainbow chip icing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious. And it's hard to find. And so my mom scours grocery stores to find it so that she has it on hand for my birthday.
Is it next to the baby formula in the supermarket? Is it that hard to find?
It's been hard to find for years, way before baby formula. In fact, there was one year that we couldn't find it and Louis like figured out a way to make something similar.
Ah, because so he works in a kitchen.
He made it from scratch for me one year.
Just once? Better.
Well, we found it every other year.
Okay.
The year we couldn't find it, he made it scratch.
I want husbands to know this. This is really important. You have to know what your wife likes for cake. Don't ever get her the type of cake that you like, assuming that she likes the same thing. I just made that mistake once. Yeah. Maybe twice.
If Louis showed up with a carrot cake on my birthday for me, then that would be heartbreaking.
I'm an incredibly slow learner. Maybe three times. Maybe. Not going to admit to it, but maybe.
I'm a fairly safe bet with cake as long as there's not fruit in it or some sort of vegetable in it.
Oh, Darcy's all chocolate cake, chocolate ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm, I like the yellow cake, white frosting.
Okay.
I'm just a solid, that's my favorite for forever. And so, So I just assumed the first 3 or 4 years we're married, that's what she liked.
Yeah. Because that's the best, right?
Yeah. Because it's the best. Why would you not like it? It's awesome. It's so good. Everyone loves it.
Yep.
Except people that like chocolate.
So I offer to bake cakes for people on occasion. Mm-hmm. And it keeps working out that the people that I offer to bake cakes for want carrot cakes. And they're so hard to make. And it's just a lot of steps. And they smell delicious when you're baking them. Yeah. And I make excellent cream cheese icing, like primo cream cheese icing. Yeah. And so I don't know. I've gotten stuck making so many carrot cakes.
So I'm going to say a name. And if you've had one of her carrot cakes, you have reached an entire level of eating that most of society is not. And she lives here locally. Beverly Pennington.
Okay.
Makes the most amazing carrot cake. We used to auction them off at the ARCs. Nice. And they would usually go for 100 or 200 or 300 bucks.
Wow.
They were so good. Right. And I don't know how many calories was in each bite, but I really didn't care.
So are we going to have a carrot cake off?
We might have to, see if I can get Beverly to make a cake. If she's still, she redid her kitchen just so she could make more cakes.
Yeah.
She's so good. So very, very good. All right. Let's do the brattiest kid you ever, that was ever on a TV series. The brattiest kid that was ever on a TV series.
So the one that pops into my mind is Stephanie from Full House, who I loved as a child because I was very sarcastic. I'm still very sarcastic. Mm-hmm. But now as an adult with children, I look at her and I'm like, no way. that kid would drive me crazy. So, yeah.
What did she do?
She was just incredibly sarcastic. She was always like butting into conversations with snarky one-liners, which again, as a 10, 13
she
year
was
old,
the okay.
She's the middle one.
Okay. I watched so like no time of that show, so I'm trying to put it all. Okay.
There's DJ, the oldest daughter. There's Michelle, the baby. Stephanie was the comic relief middle daughter. Mm-hmm. And she was just always in everyone's business and super sarcastic. And yeah.
So I have like a top two or three.
Okay.
So, Little House on the Prairie, which I did not enjoy watching. Right.
I don't know that you're the target demographic.
I was not the target demographic audience, but there wasn't. I mean, the other stuff that was on was probably stuff that was even less watchable than that. Your friends at school are watching it. There was no cable. Back then, there was four channels, right? And if PBS wasn't doing a tote bag special, there was no reason to watch that. Or the director's chair. God, I was one of those director's chairs. So Nelly was the brat, and she always got her way.
Yeah.
No matter how bad, you always wanted to get in trouble. And that's when I gave up watching series whenever you're like, well, that's never going to happen to her. I just give up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Hillary Clinton had more of a chance of getting in trouble than Nelly.
So in other
that's
words,
how many
less
times
than zero.
She got away with everything.
Yeah.
So she was one. The other one, there was a great episode on the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay.
Where this one kid, his dad would just not discipline him.
Yeah.
Such a great lesson, right? The dad. Mm-hmm. And this kid became the biggest brat in town, and Opie became friends with him.
Oh, no.
But Andy had a different disciplinary set of standards and guidelines.
Yeah.
And Opie took a little bit of time to figure that out.
Well,
and
you know,
the bratty kid eventually, his dad realized, oh my gosh, I'm creating a monster.
Yeah.
I'm creating someone who manipulates me to get whatever they want.
There's the Jordan B. Peterson rule to not allow your child to do anything that makes you dislike them. Don't encourage them to be someone that does stuff that you dislike.
And there was other, there's other kids who were kind of annoying and stuff, but I mean, it was, those two are kind of the biggest ones.
I feel like the right answer has to do with Leave It to Beaver, but I didn't watch that enough to know any of their names. Wasn't there like a little kid that was always getting Beaver in trouble?
It wasn't the little kid. There was Eddie Haskell.
Yeah.
Eddie Haskell always had the worst ideas, but around the parents. Oh, hi, Mr. Cleaver. How are you doing? Oh, Mr. Cleaver, how are you? Can I help you with the yard work? Or can I take the trash out for you? Yeah. Meanwhile, he's stealing your liquor from you when you're not looking, right? That was the guy.
So that's bratty.
That was really kind of, wasn't the coolest thing. The other one, I won't say he was a kid. But if you ever watched any of the Lost in Space episodes?
Very few.
We had minimal TV when I was a younger kid. But Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
He was the oldest guy on the show, but he was the brattiest person on the show.
Yeah.
And he was always dragging some unsuspecting child into his plots that would maybe kill the child or the entire rest of the crew that was already lost in space.
Well, he is a scientist. He needs a guinea pig to test on before he tries it.
As a parent, you're like, kid, are you the dumbest one ever? If Dr. Smith says go left, go right.
Yeah.
Right? Don't do what Dr. Smith says. Never listen to Dr. Smith.
There's another doctor I can think of that.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I heard she was really bratty too. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I never watched one of those either.
I love Dr. Quinn Medicine.
Speaking of
Sully, was so sexy.
Who was Sully?
Sully was her love interest.
Yeah, I never watched any of that.
Yeah,
I didn't know who Sully was.
They're remaking that one, and if they botch that show, then I'm gonna be mad. And you're gonna hear about it. All of you will hear about it.
You can have a rant, just like I had today,
man.
The Quadurian rant. So, two people passed away. Olivia Newton-John passed away.
Yeah,
73, which is very sad. Mm-hmm. She's a lot of great music and a lot of good movies. Grease being probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
Right. And then I don't know if you caught it. One of the TC, who I think is Roger Mosby, played him on Magnum PI. He was a helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
It was Magnum's big friend, Greg. He was in his 80s, but just a really.
Yeah.
He
had a very sweet face.
Oh, he was a great character on that show. He got abused. Thomas Magnum was the brat, always abusing him. TC, I'll pay you back for the gas. He never paid for the gas. Thomas Magnum never paid for the gas.
Magnum P.I.
TC probably died destitute in the show and you wouldn't know.
Wasn't it a car accident? I think he died in a car accident.
He may have.
And Anne Hesh she didn't die. She almost died in a car accident.
After a podcast where drinking was involved.
Is that what it was?
They were talking
about...
wondering
what kind of substances they were going to find in her system.
No, they were talking about doing some type of... maybe it was vodka. They were like, oh, I came on here to drink wine, but we're doing vodka with wine shots or something. It was some type of alcoholic beverage followed by wine. And then she got and drove, right?
Yeah.
So
in her Mini Cooper.
Which is why you see water.
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 Jugs of water.
Large jugs of water.
Hiding to the side here.
Yeah, because we want to get home.
Yes.
And in your case, you have valuable cargo going home with you. So, yeah. No, we're not done. All right. So, best teacher you ever had?
Probably my, I want to say, 7th grade English teacher, Miss McGill.
Okay.
Probably her.
Mrs. McGill. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Sister Carol. And she wasn't really my teacher. She was my homeroom teacher.
Okay.
Our senior year. Mm-hmm. She was phenomenal.
Yeah.
We would get worked up over something administration was doing.
Yeah.
She would just laugh. And she, under her breath, would say, well, you can get mad if you want, or you maybe could do something like this.
Yeah.
She got some of the best ideas.
That's awesome.
It was really good. But
so the teacher I now relate to the most is Mr. Falvo. He had... almost made it to the NFL. I think he was on an NFL team and got injured. And so I don't know how many games he played, but he was just this giant dude, man. And if you acted up in that classroom and you didn't, he would give you a warning. You didn't listen to the warning and continued on. You would just hear
boom, boom, boom.
And then you were elevated into the sky because he would pick you up, desk and all, and carry you outside. Put you down, shut the door.
He's got a very strict disciplinary rule.
Yeah.
Today, he'd probably be fired for that.
Absolutely. But I truly respect that man.
No.
Because, I mean, we were learning social studies. It wasn't the most exciting thing for most of the kids our age. We're like 13, 14 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he had to keep everyone's attention and that's how he did it.
Well, I did have a really cool professor in college. I took a lot of history classes. I was a history minor, and Hodges taught a lot of the ones I took. And he got really, I mean, was one of those cool, okay, well, you know, next week we're going to go see this movie, The Last Emperor. We're like, okay, you understand that's like a 7-hour movie. Okay, I'll give you the whole week off, right? I mean, he was always coming up with, you show up to the movie, you don't have to come to class for 3 classes or something. It was just a really fun teacher. He was totally dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Apparently he had been on the college campuses in the 60s when it was good to be on the college campuses in the 60s. I'm thinking like Animal House kind of guy. And he looked at us one day. It was right before the 84 election. He says, I do not understand you people. My generation fought for the sexual revolution, the cultural revolution, right? I mean, all the
hey, thanks, by the way.
All of those things. And he said, and I look at your generation and you've given it all up at the sexual revolution. You've given up the drugs. You don't do this anymore. I mean, and it was a time in college where there wasn't as many drugs as there was in the 60s and the 70s. And I'm sure it got worse in the 90s and the thousands again. But he was just funny. He's just like, I just do not understand you people. Yeah. All the stuff we worked for and you've given up part of it. You just don't care.
Like, yeah. We're the children of those people. Yeah. And we would prefer to stay sober.
We would prefer not to do that. So. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. All right. Worst school year you ever had?
Worst school year. So my daughter said sixth grade, but she also said she didn't really have a bad school year. I would probably say, yeah, probably sixth grade. That transition from fifth grade into middle school is pretty rough.
And for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? For everybody, right?
It's a hard dynamic to
You're trying to figure out around. Where you fit and how you fit in everywhere and yeah. For me, it was sixth grade as well, but for a different reason, right? So my wife went to multiple schools because she moved, right? She was always the new kid. And when I tell her this story, she's like, I have no sympathy for you because I was always the new kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we had Cathedral Parish and we had St. Agnes. Uh-huh. And so I had gone from kindergarten through fourth grade with a group of friends. Mm-hmm. And when they merged the two schools, right? And St. Agnes became an early learning center and CPS became the elementary middle school. All of my friends from kindergarten through fourth grade were in class A.
Yeah.
And I was in the other class.
That
so
stinks.
I made new friends, mm-hmm. right? That's fifth grade. I rolled with it. I was okay. I got through it. Sixth grade. I roll in, look at the class list. All of my friends through fourth grade are in class A. And my new friends from fifth grade are in class A. And I'm in class B. It's like being the new kid twice in a row. And I'm like, damn it. And they were all, you know. And
then promptly got your knuckles wrapped because you said that.
It was worse than that. I got my knuckles wrapped. I got my mouth washed out with soap. And then they called my parents. And that's when the real beatings commenced. Let me tell you.
For sure.
Yeah. No, it was just one of those things. Darcy, I have no sympathy for you. I'm like, I was in my own hometown, but I didn't have any of my friends in my class.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's like just one. I just have one friend.
I had one school year not in Florida, and that was my third grade year. And right before school started, I broke my arm riding my bike on a gravel road for the first time. And so now I walk in, I'm right hand dominant, so my right arm's broken.
Yep.
And, you know, I can't play like the other kids can play. It's hard for me to write, so they hold me back from recess so I can finish stuff. And then realized that I listened well. And so they would put me in charge of the kids that didn't because they didn't want me to hurt myself. So it was a rough start. Once I got the cast off, it was okay.
Got better?
Yeah.
Melissa wins today for the most bratty kid.
Oh, yeah?
Melissa crushed it.
All right.
I mean, so all the rest of us barely got the ball out of the infield.
Uh-huh.
She hit the ball into the parking lot.
All right. What is it?
Across the street from the regular parking lot.
So she's hitting the jail.
King Joffrey.
King Joffrey.
From Game of Thrones.
I didn't watch King of
Thrones. Brattiest kid. Trust me. Brattiest kid ever on a series.
All right.
That's a home run.
I'll take your credit. I'll take your word for it.
She did the bat flip and everything when she hit that one.
She called her shot.
She did. She pointed out there. She said, I've got this.
Yep.
Just signed up for HBO.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones starts in 2 weeks. So just.
All right. You'll have to let me know. I don't know. I haven't watched any.
Have you watched Yellowstone yet?
We're still trying to get there. We're finishing Reacher.
Reacher's pretty good. All right. This is St. Augustine this evening. I can't remember who's on tomorrow night, but we got a great guest. We're going to do Turtles tomorrow night. It's Turtle Night.
Yay!
We'll be right back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.